The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a solar sensing climate control system. Learn more at Acura.com.
I'm Samantha Brown. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast, curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Up now, another piece from Stories from the Heart of the Land, a new public radio series which considers the connection between people and the natural world. This piece is from the series' first hour, called Portraits in Landscapes. Here's series host Jay Allison.
Sometimes a landscape contains an implied portrait, the memory of human presence. This can be a tumble-down house or a rusting plow, or sometimes it can be found in the very soil. That's where you'll find the evidence of Bob Rabig, here remembered by his friend, Kelly McEvers. She begins in the rain, on a patch of land known locally in Springfield, Illinois, as Bob's Prairie.
Okay, I'm standing in a, wow, I had no idea how hard this was going to be. I'm standing in a 3-acre plot of land that used to be a cornfield. In 1991, my friend Bob started restoring this piece of land to its original state as a tall grass prairie. And then he died. When Bob was alive, he always asked me to come here and check out the prairie. But I was too busy and running around a bunch of places to ever come and see it. So I'm here now to check it out. When it stops raining, right now the grass is almost as tall as me. There's a memorial to Bob up here. Is Robert Bob Rabig, whose dream and tireless dedication preserved this piece of living history. Bob died of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's, you know, a cancer. He lived with it for a really long time. He was diagnosed in 1991, and he died in 2004. He really didn't talk about it very much, and there were only a few people who ever really knew that he was sick.
He, you know, obviously at some point in his life felt that his options were going to be limited. And so I think he poured everything he could into the prairie. I mean, he certainly did things at the prairie kind of the hard way in some respects. Most of the restoration work we do, you know, we'll gather seed and go out and broadcast the seed on the ground, no fancy tools or anything. He took the seed and, you know, individually germinated each and every plant and planted those plants out there and then would go out and water them. He knew he wasn't going to be around forever, and I think he saw it as a way to leave something lasting.
March 28th to 29th, 1998, I planted compass seed and wild blue indigo on the south one-third of the prairie. This is his plan of the prairie, and you know, his paper and all that stuff.
Oh, he wrote his thesis about the prairie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. As of last fall, there were nearly 40 species of native Illinois prairie plants and grasses present on the site.
There's a good picture.
He looks so robust there.
Yes. I wish I would have been to the prairie. I feel terrible for not having been to the prairie when it was such a act of love. I have been to the prairie since he passed away, and I just was marveled at how big and beautiful it was, and that he did that.
Oh, you want to dive in further?
Yeah.
This one's switchgrass here. This one's bee balm. This one's rattlesnake master.
So the plants we're seeing right now, at one point, Bob was taking the seeds and germinating them, like, in a greenhouse.
Again, you know, he was on a faster timetable than most of us. This plant takes 6 years from seed to bloom.
Oh.
Yeah, we can tell that plant's been around. It's very robust. So it's probably one of his babies.
And is it true that the tall grass prairies of Illinois were the tallest, right? The further east you were, the taller the grasses?
Well, tallest probably in grasses, but they had the most flowers or forbs. And a lot of the pioneers were just awestruck to be traveling across the prairie in May and June. And that's what they would write about, are all the colors that they would be seeing. They're some of the prettiest prairies I've been in. When you see one like that, you don't forget it.
Wow.
I'd write about it, too. Let me get to one of these. By and by, the forest began to thin, and we emerged upon the prairie. Before us lay one vast plain of verdure, the light breeze of the morning brushing along the young grass and the blue and pink flowers, the strong sunlight pouring down everywhere, and the singular silence produced a striking effect upon the mind. An immigrant named John Reagan. Prairies always seem to produce strong emotions, sometimes very positive and sometimes very negative. If this happened to be a season of the year following the burning of the prairies, they would all be black, and they would exclaim, "Do you mean you have brought me all this way here just to see this?" Prairies seem to be sort of the underdog, needing help, needing study, needing someone to speak up for them.
I mean, if I was a farmer, I'd be like, you know, I'm growing stuff that's feeding a nation, you know. What good is a prairie?
Now, who knows what those plants might hold? They used to regard Pacific yew as being worthless, and then they found that the drug Taxol, which is used to treat cancer, could be produced from it. And so we never know.
The weird thing about the prairie is it doesn't really look like anything. But as soon as you know just a little bit about it, it starts to look like something. Like now that I know, like I know that that's prairie dock, and I know that that's bluestem grass. And I know that that's compass plant over there. So funny, while I was here, I started keeping this, like, diary of things that I saw. 12 wild turkeys, cardinal in the tree, one hawk, two robins, big fat squirrel, worms on the road, sunset lasted until 8:30. Hot like summer. Prairie was dry. Big thunderstorm. Tall, tall grass. I can hear my own breathing. There is a piece of a steel plow, an old steel plow, the implement that first broke the prairie. Now, the plow is broken, and the prairie's flourishing. And next to the plow is a picture of Bob.
Kelly McEvers in Bob's Prairie in Illinois. The Prairie State. Prairies used to cover 250 million acres of North America. Today, only 0.1% of prairie remains in the United States. But on a certain 3 acres in Illinois, there are now dozens of self-sustaining native grasses and plants.
Kelly's story comes from our series Stories from the Heart of the Land, produced by Atlantic Public Media. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. You can find out more on the podcast and the series at nature.org/stories. Our music is composed and performed by Bill Frizzell. Join me next week when we'll hear from Antilio Genasi, a 97-year-old rancher in California's Sierra Valley. For the Nature Stories podcast, I'm Samantha Brown.